Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Round 13 Roundup stream to wrap up the first major bye week. Hope you all had a good weekend. As I suggested on Thursday, spend a bit more time with your family, friends, build up that equity because State of Origin is just around the corner on Wednesday. And then come Friday, we've got another whole week of NRL matches to go. So hopefully you were able to build some good equity with your loved ones this weekend. And hope you all had some good Supercoach scores this week. Lots of chat about, you know, what's the past score, how people have went. Very hard in this particular week as well, just because it really depends on how many players you've had. But I think based on the averages that I took from the Podmasters Cup, where, you know, most of the Podmasters are, you know, playing for overall and trying to field 13 players, the average in that league was 993. But there were a couple of big outliers, people who got like, in the, someone even got close to like a couple of people got over 1100. I think kind of what I'm thinking about par is about the 950 if you had a full 13. So I think maybe just work it on that basis in terms of how you scored. So if you had a full 13 and you cracked 1,000, I think you've had a really good week. If you got in kind of 950, in anything above the 900 and 1,000, you're probably going to be, I think, hopefully looking at green arrows, and yeah, hopefully you had, you know, 1,000 plus. I will say hello to a lot of people in the chat. We've got KP, Cyril, Raymond Crane, how do you pronounce that? Saw Eric, Mudge, Clone Commander, Alaric, Tyler Botting, as always, Paycheck with a really big score, 1194, when he had 16 players. So he obviously planned very well for this week, and pretty good score. 1077 from Scott, 1059 from Inksentia, 1091 from Daniel Steer, 1054 from Dean. So there's a couple of good scores in the week, which is great to see. In terms of how I scored, pretty decent week, I think. So I ended up on 1032, which I'm happy with, 1032 from my 13 players. It all came down to two glorious, glorious men. I mean, Jermaine Asaka was the hero on, was it Thursday? You know, we did the Thursday stream. We were hoping for a good score from Asaka, and he came up trumps. He ended 109, but he got downdated to 100. But I had the VC on him, so I took the loop because I thought, you know what, 100 points, guaranteed free loop, we'll take it. Funnily, no, I think it was on the Tuesday stream where I was undecided on a captain. This is when I was thinking about maybe going Hopgood. I had the VC on Dillbags, and I had the C on Marzu, Gregosaurus. Look, if that had eventuated, I probably wouldn't have captained Marzu. I probably would have taken the loop because Dillbags went up to 84, which is pretty handy in itself. But look, Gregosaurus, big hat trick. Him and Jermaine were the heroes of the week. People on Twitter were saying to me, you know, surely Asaka is due a poem after the heroics on Thursday. Look, after Marzu, I think we just had to kind of combine the poem. This is, I think, the first official poem of 2023. I've been a little bit poor on the poem side of things, I think, this season. But major bye week, it's a State of Origin week. It's a bit of excitement. So yeah, we'll bring out the poem for our mans, Greg and Jermaine. Jermaine Asako and Greg Marzu. All right, let me hit you with these with the poem for first official poem 2023 for round 13. Greg and Jermaine saved us from major bye round pain, both with a very nice 100, ate up the opposition like garlic bread. We used to have T-Rex, now we have Gregosaurus, a tackle bus machine, we will sing for him a chorus. Greg Marzu, if it wasn't for you, this week would be sad and I'd be mad, but thanks to you and Jermaine, this week we should be getting a good rank gain. There's the poem. First official poem. Hopefully you guys like that. Chucked a little bit of auto-tune magic there. No, there's no auto-tune. That's all natural. We're all natural here on the vocals. But yeah, hopefully you all like that. A poem for the horse, Steezers says. Oh, he says, how about the horse? I don't own Corey Horsburgh, so I couldn't cheer him on. In fact, I was very angry when he went over for that try as a non-owner. I thought, oh my God, no. Shaved his head. So I would have thought he lost all his powers, but no, he came out even even better. He must be staying on the edge, I think, for all owners probably wanting to stay on the edge now as well. But yeah, anyway, so that was the week. 1032, pretty happy with that. Obviously, you guys know last week was a pretty bad week. So 1032, hopefully for my rank of 14K, hopefully that shoots us up quite high. So yeah, happy with that. A lot of good heroics at the end there from Gregosaurus. What a king. I literally had 5:30. I think I had set up the stream, set up the thumbnail, had Asako, and then as soon as Greg scored that third try, I was like, no, we can't have this. Gregosaurus had to be on the thumbnail, and it couldn't be. I know he's got a proper picture now in his Knights jersey. Nah, we love the smiling Greg picture, so we had to put that on the thumbnail. Anyway, yeah, lots of people, Palm approved, a Palm for the streakers at Napier. Mate, they held up the game for so long. What was going on there? Like, the security there must have been poor effort. There was two streakers in, like, back-to-back moments. So no Palm for them because they held up the game. Enjoy your footy, but don't go streaking the field, surely not. Aman turned into a poet after that haircut. Mate, what is going on? Every stream I'm getting questions about my haircut. The hair is the same. I haven't got a haircut yet. It's just wet, that's all. I had a shower, but no haircut. Anyway, you guys seem to love the hair. Great stuff. At least I can provide some value apart from advice if you guys like my hair. Palm approved from Harris. I'd love to see that. First Palm of the season. Yep, great stuff. Anyway, Greg makes me smile. Yeah, Steezers, look, Greg makes me very, very happy. What a man. What a man. I was ready to have the Palm just for Osaka, but no, nah, it had to be for Marzu after that outstanding effort tonight. So, tipping-wise, I think I went 3 for 5. I think I got both Saturday games wrong. So, I tipped Warriors and I tipped the Rabbitohs. Both teams lost, but got the other three games. So, at least that worked out. But I was hoping for a perfect round this week because you get bonus like 3 points. But yeah, not didn't quite happen. But anyway, so I guess the way we'll do the streams, you know, only got a short turnaround in terms of, you know, we're just going to go through these very quickly. And in terms of Q&A, it's, you know, it feels like a bit of a sigh of relief. I think we've all passed that big bye week and now it's like, okay, cool. We can just, for the next couple of weeks, round 14, 15, we can just, well, actually round 14 still is a mini major bye week, if you can call it that. So I'm sure there'll be some squads that might be struggling a little bit this week. It'll be very interesting, but it all really depends on Origin. So I haven't fully thought about actually schedule this week in terms of, you know, the trade target stream, because I know teamless will come out on Tuesday, but it's very hard to tell in terms of, you know, backing up a players. Maybe what I can do is potentially do the Tuesday stream and just keep it focused to like non-Origin players, because there's so much that can change based on what happens in Origin, if there's any injuries or anything like that. And then maybe Thursday we could maybe do a something Origin specific in terms of who we think might back up. Maybe that's something I could do. Anyway, we'll quickly go through some of the games and we'll go from there. Okay, I think the stream's got a bit of a lag, but that's okay. As long as you guys can hear me, that should be all good. All right, yeah, so in terms of the Dolphins-Dragons game, I think, like, in the end, there's a couple of pieces of, like, very frustrating, to be honest, from the Dolphins. Look, especially as a very selfish Osaka owner. I thought the Dolphins were attacking way better down their right-hand side throughout the entire game. Like, I thought every time they went to the right-hand side, like, Milford scored that try. Osaka's first try was off a kick, but he did, you know, score a line break try just through a sweep play. And I thought every time they went down there, they were very dangerous, but they just kept going left. And I was like, please, you've got the man on form, Osaka, right there, who's my VC. Just keep feeding him the ball. Didn't quite happen, but I think it was a very professional performance, I guess if you can call it that, from the Dolphins. Dragons had some good moments. I mean, Jacob Little, I know last week we kind of poo-pooed him a little bit. I think he had like 30-something points in 55 minutes, and we thought, not quite. But he looked quite good in attack, had a couple of line breaks, got a try assist as well. So he had a really big score. Obviously not a very highly owned player, but, you know, obviously had a really big score this week. There were a few players overall who actually had quite high scores this week in terms of Isakos, Littles, but even the more popular options potentially, like Moses, Dillbags, Gutherson all did well. Who else did well? We had Marzu, of course. Drinkwater had a pretty good game. A lot of the people's trade-ins of like Damien Cook, Robson did quite well too. So overall, I think people had mostly good results from the players that they traded in this week. Hopefully, Marshall King, 89 points, looked again really good. He did mention, I think, on Thursday and Tuesday that, look, if you can afford Marshall King, I think he is the best hooker to go for. Had a really great game, a try assist, and lots of attacking stats, like some forced dropouts, offloads, tackle busts, linebreak assists. Like, he was just accumulating points in a variety of ways. So Marshall King still looking good. Dolphins hasn't changed that they still have a great buy schedule as well. So, you know, if you are still looking in your hooker area, I think Marshall King still continues to be probably the number two hooker this season behind Harry Grant. Milford had a good game, but I don't think many people are going to be looking at Milford. Lemuelu, pretty solid. I know people had maybe held him up until this point. Fairly solid game. Not really. I think he was playing on the right-hand side this game, and I think he's gotten most of his attacking stats on the left. So didn't quite look super threatening in attack, but look 62, which I think was in more or less base. Yeah, there's a couple of offloads in there, but really it's just all base stats. So that's pretty solid, 62 points, and getting, you know, in pretty much all base. So it's pretty handy. Outside of that, I mean, some people went maybe Cody Nikurima. 46 points it's okay for the price, but, you know, I think you're probably hopefully expecting more out of that. He will make some money, but not quite the score that you would have liked. He didn't look completely natural at fullback. So next week, if the Hammer backs up, then Nikurima might be playing in the halves. Although that's interesting because Milford had a really good game. So I wonder what's going to happen there in terms of the halves combination there. So, Nikurima has been chosen above Milford so far, but Milford had a really good game. So it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. Look, Isaiah Katoa, I think, you know, 31 points is kind of more or less what he does. I think he's probably someone now who, look, if you've got him in your 5S spot and you're looking to upgrade, now that he's covered that first major bye week, Dolphins don't cover round 16. He could be someone that you could probably look to move on. I think, you know, he was a nice handy little option for 30-something points this week, but I think now he's probably more or less done his job. He's not going to be probably that amazing cash cow that we would have hoped for. So, look, he's made some money, but yeah, probably someone that you could look to move on. On the Dragon side, we already spoke about Little. I mean, Toby Cashman scored a try for anyone who's like kind of held him from like a few weeks ago when he was looking like a decent downgrade option. I mean, DeBellin, probably the most relevant, 54 points, which did include a sin bin. So like in an ordinary game, he's probably looking at about a 65 to 70. So kind of more or less doing what you kind of bought him for. So I guess nothing out of the ordinary there. I guess a shout out to Ben Murdoch-Masilla from, as James says, even Ben Murdoch-Masilla got 42 points. Yeah, look, I think for ages he was getting like 20, 25s and stuff. So you'd probably take 42 out of him. So yeah, he's again someone that you can probably look to move on now. He's kind of done his main job of covering round 13. I think the Dragons do cover round 16 from memory, but I can't even remember. But round 16 is going to be an easier week to cover. I think round 13 really was probably the most difficult one. So I think we've kind of got over that hurdle now. So I think you'll find that these major bye weeks will probably be easier to cover. I think now what is going to be more important is like those round 14s, 17s and 20s, where, you know, this week we've got the Knights, the Manly Seagulls and the Eels all on a bye, which is a lot of our players. It's the reason why I went to Sarko instead of Hopgood. If you watched the Thursday stream, you would have known that was my main reason for going to Sarko, was that it would have left me short next week. So that worked out well, where Hopgood we'll get onto soon. He had a pretty good game, but Sarko did outscore him. So that worked out well for my trades-wise. Apart from that, really not much more. I mean, Lomax, maybe people are looking at him. Dragons don't have a great run of games, though, so I'm not really looking at them too heavily in terms of trade-ins at this point in time, especially now that this round 13 hump is over. And I guess Terrell Sloan, yeah, he's really regressed hard. So unfortunately for those who went Sloan, it's not worked out probably ever since you traded him in, unfortunately. Mr. Callie says, Ace Swizz, 1109 pre-updates, great week. Tarpany and Big Red are brilliant. Yeah, look, they both had really good games, and that's a really great score. Congrats, Mr. Callie. I think if you've got an 1100+, anyone, you should be looking at hopefully at some big greens. I think 1000+ is looking pretty solid this week. But yeah, 1100+ for sure. Very relevant game, I guess, Supercoach-wise, Eels-Cowboys. Not quite the game I think we were hoping for if you loaded up on Eels attacking players. I think after last week's performance from the Cowboys, you were probably hoping that the Eels would just go and absolutely trounce them, but Cowboys were pretty gritty in the first half, and I think it just kind of came down to the weight of possession that Eels had in the second half. So, I mean, it's the usual candidates, I guess, delivering for Parramatta. Mitch Moses got a very late try, which is, as a non-owner, very frustrating because I know he was quite a popular captain and vice-captain. I think he was on about 65-70 before that try, and I thought, look, I can live with that. I can live with that. That's like 30, like my VC Asako has got about 30 points ahead of that. That should be good. Then he gets that late try. I'm just like, oh God, what's that? I'll try, line break, tackle blast, goal kick. So 95 points he's ended up on. He was on 98. He's slightly downdated. This game has been updated by the look of it. So Dillbags and Gutherson both went up a little bit. Dillbags probably, I think, got paid some extra offloads that I think had been recorded as ineffective offloads. And I think he looks like he's gotten maybe a couple more runs and tackle busts by the look of it. But I mean, Dillbags, what a man. What a man. 84 points. Look, if you captain him or VC'd him this week, I think you'll definitely take that. You know, it was probably looking after Thursday, Osaka was on 109, Dilbags ended up on like 77, that gap decreased to only 16 points. So look, it's not that big of a deal. I think if you went VC or C Dilbags, it's a pretty good score. I don't think anyone else who was really popular went too much higher, so I think you'd be pretty comfortable with that. But 31 points and just tackles, plus the runs, 46 in base, just standard Dilbag stuff. What a man. Thankfully, Clint Gutherson came good this week and got me some points, 81, two try assists, thankfully. He was someone who I was very keenly watching because last week there was some talk that he was hampered with like a rib issue, and if I saw the signs of that again, he was probably going to be someone I would maybe look to sell in round 14, given that he doesn't play. And there's a couple of round 14 options like a Will Kennedy, Dylan Edwards, who have pretty good draws from round 14 onwards. But Gutho looks pretty good, didn't seem to be hampered by any injuries. So I think as an owner, look, he covers that round 16 and round 19. So I'll happily probably keep him, I think, at this stage. And I don't really have a firm view on trades next week either, actually. I was kind of wanted to see what would play out. I kind of want to see what plays out, I guess, with Origin as well. And also what happened this weekend too. Wimmer Greg, shout out to anyone who's bought him. He's done really well, scored a try. Hopgood just doing standard things. I think he pretty much played 80 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. Like, just big minutes again in the middle for the other Jermaine, the lesser Jermaine. We'll call him the lesser Jermaine this week, given that my Jermaine outscored him. But yeah, 80 minutes at lock for Hopgood. So just, he wasn't offloading as much. I think Cowboys did a pretty good job at stopping his offloads. So that probably reduced his score a little bit. But look, 74 points, like, you'll happily take that in your 2RF. Yeah, all base power, just standard Hopgood stuff. I think Cartwright, again, just continues to be solid. Sivo, if anyone has jumped on him, scored a try for you, so pretty handy, 68 points. Matt Dury, my random round 13 hero. If you would have told me a few weeks ago that I would get 43 points from Dury in round 13, I would be like, I'll absolutely take that, because I thought he was no chance of playing this week, but all those injuries fell my way, and yeah, look, Dury, 43 points, I'll take it. He's someone who I can probably look to offload now at some point if I find like another cheapie. I'm seeing a lot of chat in the chat about the Rabbitohs Raiders game. We'll definitely get onto that soon. I'm seeing a lot of stuff about Cody Walker and Jared Croker. I know there's a lot of controversy about Croker on Twitter and social media about, you know, some try assists that he didn't get. We'll definitely get to that very soon. I guess shout out to anyone who jumped on Drinkwater. You know, very big score from him, 117. Still continues to look like just a good option, similar to last season. Even when the team is underperforming, he still maintained a pretty good average. And I think someone put a stat, I think they commented on on one of my tweets, that if you took out that game that he scored one, his average is actually like 70 for the season. So he's going quite well and not very highly owned. They don't have the best run. I think they run into Melbourne this week, and then I think it's Penrith in round 15. So I'm not sure if you're looking to invest at this point, but look, a handy score from Drinkwater. Lukey, people who didn't get a great score from him last week, he got a try assist this week, and I think he played pretty decent minutes as well. So I think you'd be pretty happy with that if you're a Lukey owner for this week. 87 points in a bye round is very, very handy. Just having a quick look at his minutes here. So he played 71 minutes. So that's definitely higher than what I would have expected, especially given that Leilua played low minutes, only 46 minutes, which is a bit different to what we saw last week. So I don't really know what's going on there in terms of the back rolls in minutes. And I think, is Nanai back next week? I think that might impact their rotation more. So I'm not sure, Lukey, if you're jumping on him at this stage. Robson, if you bought him, you'll happily take 76. Got some attacking stats, so pretty solid from him. Outside of that, I mean, shout out, I guess, to the Whisperer and his Jake Granville love. 58 points in a bye week at his price tag. I think he'll be pretty happy with that. So if anyone followed him along and went on the Granville train, I think you'll be pretty happy with 58 points playing at lock in this game. Also, condolences to anyone who went on early on Ofengawi. Only 10 points, went off injured. Not great. That's the stuff that you just hate to see, especially when you probably would have hoped for him to get like maybe 50-something points, and he's only ended up playing 10 minutes. So unfortunate there for you guys, anyone who jumped early on him. Look, I'll skip the Warriors Broncos because I'm seeing so much. I'll come back to that game, but I'm seeing a lot of chat about Raiders Rabbitohs. So we'll definitely chat about this one, I think, at this stage. So I'm seeing this comment from Jackson. Wow, all this Cody Walker talk, spamming Aman's live chat. I do agree with Mason Miller. 800K is whack for Cody. Yeah, well done to anyone who jumped on him a few weeks ago. Yeah, look, the price tag of him and like 68 points. I think we all know that this is the case with Cody. He has no base stats. He's all attacking stats. So he got 3 try assists, I think. I think he got like 3 try assists, 2 try contributions, 2 line break assists, and 68 points. I was like, what? Are you kidding me? Yeah, he got 13 points in tackles and no runs. So he had 13 in base. Like, yeah, not great. But he needs those attacking stats. This is not anything new to us, I think, with Cody. So I'm not surprised. I mean, one of the try assists was off a kick. So it didn't include the line break assist. But yeah, look, if you told me before the game, Cody's getting 3 try assists, 2 line break assists, and 2 try contributions, I'd have been like, okay, he's getting like 90. 68 points. Nah, it's okay. I'll take it. It's a very handy score, I guess, for this week, for sure. But yeah, at his price tag, you would have hoped for more. But I think the plan is, even this week, to be honest, I wasn't looking at this week as having the biggest week from him. It's the week coming up. They've got the Titans next week in round 14, which I think will be very handy. Hopefully, so apologies to any Titans fans out there, but Titans, if they keep up this second half precedent of just leaking a bunch of points, that could be good for Cody. And if Latrell backs up, that might be even better for Cody as well. Just the whole team overall just might improve in attack-wise. So look, I've made my bed, I've bought him, and the plan I think will be to hold him through most of this Origin period. Alex Johnson, if anyone jumped on him, I know there were a lot of 50-50s about would you get AJ or would you get Asako. In the end, it's cost you 30 points going AJ, but it's not the end of the world. You're also getting 100k cheaper than Asako. So I think you haven't lost out too badly there if you've went on Johnston. And, you know, look, draw is really good for the Rabbitohs that we spoke a lot about earlier this week. So happy with him as a hold. Damien Cook did get a little bit fortunate. I mean, 72 points, that did include a try off a kick. Without that, we're probably looking at about, what, 50... Not 50, sorry. Let me do my math. I can't even do math right now. 55 points, which is kind of what he's been doing more or less this season. So 55 points without that try is... It's okay. It's not amazing. Hopefully, attacking stats just continue to come with this good draw that the Rabbitohs have got. But I'm happy enough with 72 points this week for sure. I was very happy to see Cody set him up for the try as well. You love it when two of your players in the same play get some points. But yeah, look, base stats wise, not quite hitting the heights, I think, of what we would have hoped for. But it's all good. Raiders, really good performance from them. Obviously, shout out as well to Corey Howie Ranaira. Hopefully, thoughts with him, and he's doing well. I did see that the Raiders tweeted some stuff that he was speaking and positive and everything. I think he actually posted a video himself. So that was pretty rough to see, but hopefully he's all good. But yeah, otherwise the Raiders pretty impressive. Didn't lose too many players to Origin. Hopewadi, I guess, was the star with a hat-trick. Front row forwards for the Raiders doing very, very well. Josh Papali'i, I mean, the way that he was playing, I was just like, I'm kind of thankful that he's not playing for Queensland anymore because, he would always terrorize us, wouldn't he? And especially a game like that, sorry, just before I quickly touch on the Raiders, I will talk about Kalamatangi. I can see a question from Hoodie. A couple of other people, I think, were talking about Kalamatangi. Yeah, so this was his first game back from a syndesmosis injury. And I think he came back in the regular period of time, so he wasn't back early or anything like that. 51 points. I'm just going to quickly check if he did play the full 80. I think he did play the 80. I just want to check NRL.com, so just bear with me for a second. So, yeah, he did play the full 80 minutes. So that's encouraging that he was straight back in and played the full 80. And we know that he was really good to begin the season. Now, that's 51 points that he got pretty much all in base. I think one or two times he did get close, and we know he has got that attacking threat. How much is he? Let me quickly look. He is 670K, and he had 101 break-even. So he will go down in price this week, which is good. If you're a non-owner, you can start to maybe look to pick him up a little bit cheaper. I don't mind him as a trade-in option, especially this week. You know, like if you are looking for a second or forward option, let's say you're trying to go for a 2RF. You've probably got Sharks players. So you've got maybe Britton Nicara. You got maybe, well, pretty much Kalamatangi. Hopgood is out. You can't go him. Look, 670K is a bit expensive. If he gets down to like 600K, I like that price for him because we do know he's got that attacking upside. And in terms of, you know, the injury, there's actually like, again, I'll shout out NRL Physio's Patreon. I know a few people were asking him on social media about like, what do they think, or how does he think Kalamatangi will return back from a syndesmosis? And he only disclosed that really in a pretty good in-depth explanation on his Patreon. So definitely recommend that if that's the kind of stuff you're interested in. But essentially, he said like he wasn't too concerned about return from performance. So that was encouraging. So I was very keenly watching Klomatangi. And I think he could be a nice little pod in your 2RF. I know 51 points this week is not amazing, but he did get close a couple of times. The draw is really good. And I think if you're comparing him to, say, someone like a Britton Nicaragua, you know, he's probably the other maybe second or fourth option that people might be looking at. He's 709K. So he's quite a bit more expensive. But I do prefer the draw that the Rabbitohs have. So, like, Nicaragua's got Broncos Melbourne before the Bulldogs in round 16. Klomatangi doesn't play round 16. That's the only probably downside, I think, of these Rabbitohs players, is that they don't play in round 16. So I think if you're looking at the next three games, Nicaragua is probably better for you because he will cover round 16 and he has the Bulldogs that week. So that's a really good week that you could own Nicaragua. But look, I like Klomatangi. I think you'll have, I think he'll definitely be one who's likely to continue to get attacking stats. And look, he was averaging 69 up until this game. So we know that he's a pretty good super coach option as well. I guess onto some of the Raiders players. So we already kind of briefly spoke about Josh Papali'i. I mean, Corey Horsburgh looked really, really good. Shaved his head and just went full manic mode and, you know, beautiful right foot step to score his try, which was very frustrating when I saw that. I was like, oh, you're kidding. And it happened in like the first 10, 15 minutes. And I thought, oh my God, he's already scored a line break try. He's probably going to go on to score like 100 plus. Yeah, and he went pretty much that way. He went 99 points. Very happy with Joe Tapp's massive performance from him. I think he played 68 minutes, which is, look, if they want to keep playing him at lock and he keeps playing 68 minutes, thank you very much, Ricky. I will absolutely take that. So 68 minutes, which is huge from him, all in base power, the 82 points. He got very close to scoring a try as well, which, funnily enough, Corey actually would have got the try assist for, probably. So Tapanui even went close to scoring a try, but look, very happy if those minutes hold up. We know he's got an insane PPM. Yeah, so his PPM this game was 1.21, so 82 points in 68 minutes. And I think his base power PPM is pretty much about that as well. So he's just one of those players who just doesn't seem to drop off in PPM. He just keeps punching out really good scores, even if he just plays more minutes. So he must be a fitness freak. But yeah, very, very happy with that. Now, elephant in the room, I guess, Jared Croker. So he's not playing next week. So Ricky's already come out and said that he's not going to play Croker next week, which would be a bit of a blow for owners out there because you were probably hoping to have him play next week just because next week will be a little bit short for numbers, given that, you know, we've got three other teams on the bye. 65 points, which is a decent score. He won't change in value, but, you know, missing round 14. The Raiders' draw is okay. I mean, Tigers... Let me just backtrack. The reason why Ricky Stewart's not playing him next week is that he wants Kroger to play his 300th game in GIO Stadium in Canberra, which is, I think, is a nice touch. And so that's the round 15 game against the Warriors. But then he does miss round 16 as well. He does cover round 19, but he's probably not an essential hold. Like, if you bought him at his, what, 280K, he's made you, like, 100 and plus. He's made you 100 plus K. How much has he made? He's made 150K, which you'll happily take. And he gave you a good score in the bye week. So I think he's done a pretty solid job. He's definitely one that I think you can look to move on next week just because he'll be out. And if you're short for numbers, I think that's a move that you'd be like, yeah, that's fine to make. You could probably go to an AJ still who's got the Titans that week. You can maybe look at the Sharks boys, like Mulatalo, the Katoas, maybe Karaz. I'm seeing a few people in the chat saying, what's his name? Yeah, maybe Croker to Karaz. Now, I kind of gave some thoughts on Karaz earlier this week. I know we're talking about players who didn't play this week, but hopefully this extra week off has done him good because I thought the last couple of weeks, like, yes, he's been taking a lot of runs, which is kind of what he always does, but he's just not having quite that impact in terms of more tackle busts and those over 8 meter runs that he was getting at the beginning of the season. And I think he wasn't still looking 100%. Now, I don't mind the bye this week. I mean, it's the Roosters, which, look, on paper is a tough matchup, but we know that the Roosters have been pretty poor. Having another week off, I think, would hopefully do him good in terms of just getting his body right or whatever. At 486K with a break even of 47, I don't mind a switch to Karaz because Karaz will cover round 16. Kras does miss round 17, which is a little bit awkward because that's another week straight after an origin period, but that's a few weeks away, so you can probably plan for that, I guess. So I don't mind the Kras move, especially if you're short numbers, and you know, around the price range, he's probably one of the better options that you could go for. All right, let's see a few question here. Let's see, this is a couple of questions about this. Oh yeah, sorry, well, we didn't speak about the controversies with Croker's lack of try assists. So I rewatched part of the game and those particular tries. So he's gotten the one try assist, which I think was for the one where he gave it back to Starling. I didn't follow all the scores live, so I'm kind of guessing here, but I think he got the try assist for Starling when Whiten put him through and then he sent Starling over. I think he got the try assist for that. But I think it's very, very difficult to predict with scoring whether it goes to the center or it goes to the fullback when they do those sweep plays. One of the tries for Hopewadi I did think wasn't Croker's, because I think by the time Chris had gotten the ball and his pass, Chris had created the overlap. So I think Sebastian Chris got one of the try assists that I think a lot of people might have thought Croker should have gotten. It was like one of those catch and pass instances. So I think that's where one of Croker's try contributions has come from. I'm just really quickly checking. Yeah, so Chris got one try assist. Now, forgive me, I can't actually remember the other one, but I think a lot of people were probably hoping that he would get an additional try assist. But honestly, I'm not very good at like predicting the scoring and when they look at when it's a center, when it's the fullback. Because I know people were pointing out that apparently Isaiah Tass had a very similar one and he got given it. Honestly, it's so difficult sometimes with scoring to tell how they do it. It's just normally, the way I normally look at it is I always just watch the fullback if the fullback is playing, because I find that for example, Clint Gutherson, he got two try assists where it was really just a catch and pass. And so I think someone mentioned earlier maybe about Pennicini not getting one. It's if the fullback is in the line, and when the fullback catches the ball, he's caught it, I think, on the outside shoulder. So it's now become a 3-2. He'll get the try assist because it's like the fullback's run and catch has like created the overlap. So if he's just, and then if it just goes through the hands of the winger, that try assist will go to the fullback. So that happened twice with Gutherson. And I think people were probably looking at the fact that Tass did get two try assists and one of them maybe was a similar play. But honestly, I don't own Croker, so I was kind of like, sorry about it, but I was kind of happy that he didn't get any more points. But I can see why people get frustrated, but honestly, it's so hard to tell. So I can't really help you out there, sorry. But SC Spy on Twitter, if you don't follow him, definitely follow him for sure. He's on the playbook. He's very good at breaking down these kind of things, so I definitely recommend to give him a follow. He's really good at breaking down when he thinks that these scores should be paid. He does a better job than me, put it that way. Anyway, apart from that, I don't really think there's too much other relevance. I mean, I guess Matt Tomoko, if anyone's jumped on him, he's really stunk it up the last couple of weeks. So not ideal if you've jumped on him as a bit of a pod play. Alex is asking, is Tomoko a definite sell? I mean, round 14 is the West Tigers, but we've seen the West Tigers be pretty solid. He's going to have a big cash loss. Like, he had 118 break even. He'll probably be like between 620 to 640K. Probably have another break even. He's still at a value that I think you could capitalize and sell. And he doesn't cover round 16. Yeah, it's the Tigers and Warriors. Like, they're not easy, easy games. So I think him, if you want to trade out, yeah, definite sell, probably not. But yeah, he's probably someone I think you could sell for like a round 16 playing center wing for sure. Steezus, did we talk about the mega cash cow Val Meninga? No, I actually forgot to talk about Val Meninga. Let's just quickly jump to him. I didn't really have much more, I think, to touch on this Raiders game. Val Meninga. I mean, yeah, Wayne Bennett just absolutely screwing over a bunch of super coaches, and any cash gen from Valance has just been absolutely tanked because he put him on for the last 3 minutes. I love that Marshall King, though, was just feeding him the ball. Like, as soon as Tavares was on, he just gave him like three straight hit ups, and the crowd loved it. So they obviously want him in the team, but yeah, unlucky for anyone, especially if you count in your best 13. That is a killer. That is a killer. But anyway, that's that, I guess, with Val Meninga. Has the Bunnies game been updated? Yes, it has. Pretty much all the games have been updated apart from the Knights game now, because I think Cook has been updated. Yeah, because Tarpany was on 78 pre-updates. Now he's moved up to 82. Horsburgh was on 100. He's down to 99. They might not have finished updates, but some updates have definitely come through. So I think Cody went down a couple of points as well. So I think the updates have more or less come in for this game. It's just a nice game that hasn't been updated yet. All right, real quickly on the Warriors-Broncos game. I mean, I was rooting for the Warriors. Look, I tipped them, but I don't know. I think I'm kind of all aboard the Warriors bandwagon this season. And so Pompey pulling back, who was the name? Was it pulling back, was it Mariner? That was really gut-wrenching, especially if you're a Warriors fan too. Like, I thought, like, that set was amazing. That final set that the Warriors did to what I thought was the equalizing try. They went the whole field. Like, there were some really big runs. Like, bloody Fanua Blake. Oh, my God. Any Fanua Blake owners out there, you've just been loving life. Like, no attacking stats. But, like, honestly, every single run he did all game was just, probably looked like he was getting a tackle bust almost every run. Or he could have gotten one. Every run over 8 meters. Like, just an absolute machine. Absolute machine. I have a feeling all of his runs were over 8 meters. Let's have a quick look here. Yeah. So he had 18 runs in total. 17 of them were over the 8 meters. So, like, I think this is a bit of a slightly maybe at least for myself, I kind of tend to underrate the over 8 meter stats, because if you've got these guys who just tend to break the line constantly, like Joe Tapps did it this week, Haas always seems to do it. Fanua Blake, like, they're just, every run that they're getting is just 1 point extra, and then you start taking 10, 15 runs, and they're averaging like 10, 15 points better than all the other props. That's pretty much how they do it, I guess, is plus the offloading too. But yeah, Fanua Blake, really big performance. When he was off the field, I was ecstatic because I thought, like, he's got a massive engine as well. So I just figured every time he's on the field, he's just going to keep making all these runs. He ended up playing, have a quick look-see here, 68 minutes. But 68 minutes at prop is pretty unbelievable. But yeah, obviously not the greatest ending for the Warriors in that game, but pretty good performance overall from the Broncos. Probably not a whole heap of relevance, I think, out of this game, given that most of the Broncos players that we'd be looking at are the Origin players. Reynolds had a pretty good game if anyone jumped on him this week, but I think most people would have gone to probably a Moses. Sean Johnson, I guess, didn't have the best week. I think Luke Metcalf really did demand, I think, a lot more of the ball than I expected. I thought Sean Johnson would take a lot of the attacking kicks, but Metcalf did get quite a bit of the attacking play. So, I mean, he didn't score crazy well, but I just felt in-game Johnson didn't quite get as much of the ball as I would have thought he would. So maybe that contributed to a lower score from him. Jackson Ford, only the 48 points. So I sold Jackson Ford a couple of weeks ago when he was out, just because I needed to balance my squad a little bit better. Someone did ask earlier in the chat, is Ford a trade out? So that was from Brods. Look, he's not going to be, like, I don't think he's going to be a keeper to RF. Like, he's, if you think about your six best second row forwards, I don't think he's going to be in there. But, I mean, the Warriors do play seven of the next, well, they play seven of the whole bye round. So the only bye week they miss is round 16. So I think, from an accumulation of points point of view, I think he'll be solid. But yeah, look, he's definitely not a must keep. That's for sure. I haven't got it up in front of me, but if I could, I would bring up my round. Maybe I'll do it after the stream. But the round if you go back to my round 13 preview stream, if you go to the 2RF section, I had put like kind of expected points based on the number of games played and averages. Even Jackson Ford, I think playing the seven games, was still predicted to get outscored by quite a few other 2RFs. So I think he's probably someone that, look, you can probably look to move on if you wanted to move on to another second row forward. Because I think he's covered this big bye week for you. He doesn't play round 16. So maybe you can look to jump on like another 2RF, like a, maybe if you want to upgrade him to like a Kalomatungi or like a Nikara, for example. That could be something that you could look to do for sure. I don't think he's a must keep. Okay, let's see here. Sensitive Cody Walker owners, mate. I don't know what's going on in the chat. I don't know if you're all fighting in the chat, but no need to be fighting each other, mate. We're all friends here. We all love Supercoach. No need to get testy. Don't be fighting in the chat, guys. Heatwave, Hamish, I'm putting you on timeout. If this is school, I'm putting you on timeout in the naughty corner. Anyway, Tohu Harris, 63 points, just doing what he does. Solid as always. But yeah, nothing really, I guess, out of the Broncos, to be honest, to touch on. I mean, I guess Katoni Staggs, people there was a bit of chat about Tony Staggs. Not for me. 39 points. Did that include a try assist? I feel like he got something this week. What did he do? No try assist, just a bunch. He got a line break. Nah. There's a reason why Katoni is less than 400k. I will not be going back there. Unless he shows me more, but I have not seen enough. I guess, okay, final game then. So we'll go through the games pretty quick. My bad, Amon Hamish. It's all good. I'm poking fun at Cody Walker. Look, I went dual bags really early. Like, what was it, round five? It was basically whenever Adam Duehi went out, he got his first injury. And I'm a staunch dual bag. Like, I prefer dual bags as a player. Look, Cody for Supercoach is great. In actual NRL, he does get on my nerves a little bit. I think he probably does that to a lot of people as well, but he's a quality player. But it is somewhat funny that he gets all those attacking stats and he gets like 68 points. Dual bags. We talked about dual bags before. 46 points in base. You got more than three times the base stats of Cody Walker. But this is the thing, they're completely different players. Dual bags can get one try assist, line break assist, and get you 80 points. But Cody can have these games where he just goes on an absolute tear and goes 80, 90 plus two. So they get their points in different ways. And look, despite all of that with Cody, that he has no base stats, I think since round three, his lowest score is like 60 points. So he's doing fine. The price is a little bit expensive, but look, he's doing just fine. Yeah, the first 3 weeks were poor, but since then his lowest score is 63. And the thing is, we know the Rabbitohs are a good attacking team, and this draw is conducive to attacking stats. So look, if you've bought into Cody now, I know the base stats are a bit pants, but I think you'll be happy enough with that draw coming up. Tony Rose says, can't people just chat and share their opinions without being trolled? So childish, some people in this chat. Yes, look, guys, no need to be pointing the finger at other people's comments and stuff, unless they say that dual bags is overrated. Troll the hell out of them. Apart from that, I don't want to be hearing any nonsense in the chat. We're all here for good times. Kemal Graham, a hold. Ooh, it depends if he's back. I guess if you held him through this week, I guess so, because he's got Titans and Dragons coming up. It's pretty good. Quickly on the Knights-Eagles game, not the greatest game, I guess, a little bit back and forth. Manly, I thought, really strong first half, but Knights came back and their left side attack looked really good. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with any of you Lockie Miller owners out there, but hopefully the fact that he wasn't named in the 17 meant that you just sold him. And hopefully you sold him to Marzu, who went really big with a hat-trick. But if Ponga's staying at fullback, I know before this week there were some questions about is Greg Marzu a keeper. Look, I know he went massive this week, so I'm not even going to let that play into my thinking. I think I said even if you took out his first two scores, which are 100+, his average was like 61, which is, for a centre wing, it's fine. He's got really, really good base power stats. So even in week, like last week, he got no tries, 50 points. So I know the Knights' run is not ideal coming up because they've got pretty they obviously don't play round 14, so that's obviously an issue. Broncos round 15, he covers round 16, which is handy. Then it's the Panthers, Bulldogs, and then misses round 19. Tigers, Melbourne, like that draw is not great. But he's shown enough, I think, for me, just like with his tackle busting. If he gets, like, let's say in this run, let's say his average is 50 without any attacking stats. And then let's say he gets one try every three games. So spread that out to 6 points extra a game. He's probably averaging between 56 to 60 in a pretty tough run. And that's giving him one try every three games, which I think is pretty conservative. So for me, I think he's someone who I'll probably still look to hold, at least I think until round 16. After that, maybe I reassess. But then remember, round 17 is Panthers, who are off an Origin game. So they may be resting some of their stars. Bulldogs is great. And maybe round 19 you sell. But for me, even without this big 100 plus this week, like those scores here, like he has some down weeks where he gets like in the 40s, you know, but he has these kind of boom bust weeks. He's just that type of player. So very happy with Marzu obviously this week, and probably one I won't be selling this week, even though he is on the buy. Ponga had a really good game, 86 points. I think people who traded him in this week, you'd be happy with that. Wasn't goal kicking, which wasn't ideal, although Hastings didn't kick that well today. So maybe there's a chance that Ponga takes up the goal kicking. It was confirmed earlier in the week by Barry Tui that Hastings was going to goal kick. And we didn't have that information when we did the initial preview stream. But Luponga looked really good. Did cop a few hits though, a few really big hits. And I mean, yeah, Kular getting sin binned. I didn't really agree with that, to be honest. I thought that was just a good solid hit. I'm surprised he went to the sin bin. Yeah, I guess that's kind of what's 2023 rugby league, I guess. But yeah, some pretty big scores from some of the outside backs. Ponga, Dom Young's try at the end obviously helped him a lot. Bradman Best obviously scored a try, I think, as well. Gagai, a few people were looking at Gagai coming into this week as a bit of a pod. This is kind of what he gets, 51 points without any attacking stats. His base average is like 40 this season, which is ridiculous. So, yeah, not the cleanest game, I guess, from the Knights. Adam Elliott, 38 points. I know people might be looking at him as a 2RF option. So, he's gotten pretty decent, not minutes, but relative to his minutes, his scores have been okay since he's come back from his injury. He played 64 minutes though today and only 38 points, so not the greatest PPM. So it's probably not going to be someone who I'll be looking at too heavily. Not really much more, I guess, out of the Knights. Out of the Manly Sea Eagles, I mean, they also have the bye. I mean, Schuster had a great first half. I think it was on like 42 points at halftime. Or no, he was on 30 points at halftime. Ended up on 50, which, look, literally, I think coming into this round before he was named last week, I was saying, if he can just come back in round 13 and get us 50 points, I'll be happy. He got us 50 points in round 13, and I'm happy with that. Garrick, 51. Obviously, the first play when Schuster intercepted it and gave it to Garrick, I was like, you beauty. Thank you, Schuster, for not trusting yourself to run all the way and give us some extra points. Very happy with that. Kepi, pretty solid, 55 points. Yeah, anyone who's held on to him this whole time, you'll definitely take that this week. Paycheck, I agree with your comment as well. Marzi would have 5 tries if Best knew how to pass the ball. Best is a bit of a hog, that is for sure. There are so many times where I'm just like, dude, you got the overlap. Just give it to Greg. Just give it to Greg, because you see what Greg can do. He got the ball and just ran through like 5 players and scored that hat-trick try. I'm just like, yes, Best, just pass it. Just pass it to Greg. Anyway, we will be happy with 137 from Gregosaurus. Hopefully updates are like higher than that. 20 points in tackle busts. We love to see that. But like, look, 33 points in runs. So yeah, 34 in base. Solid. Kept it to last a few more weeks in your team from Bradski. Yep, that is for sure. Fainu, I guess if people went for Fainu, 49 points at bottom dollar. Yeah, you'll be happy with that as well. But that's about it. I guess it's not really on anyone else too relevant. I mean, Olakuatu is just not doing it for me, I guess, as an option at the moment. Yeah, KO Weeks didn't have a great game. I'm still perplexed that Garrick is not playing at fullback for them. Like, he was so good when he was playing at fullback when Tommy was out for ages. So, yeah, hopefully that changes. Maybe in round 14 when they have the bye, they train a lot and Garrick is to fullback. Although Tom Trbojevic will probably be back by then anyway. All right. So that's kind of, I guess, we've gone through all the games. There's only 5 games to cover this week. I'll quickly touch on maybe like what I'm thinking about trades wise, but honestly I haven't really given it too much thought because there's so much that could come out from Origin. Assuming Fifita and Cleary both back up, I will have 18 players available for me this week, and I don't think I'll be selling any of, like, I'm probably not going to sell Dilbags, Gutherson, Garrick. So those 3 for sure are staying. The others who are on the bye will be Dury and Schuster. Am I missing someone else? Oh, and Marzu, sorry. Yeah, I'm not selling Marzu. So those 4 are staying. So those Dury and Schuster, I mean, they're kind of cheap players, so I'm not sure. I'll need a lot of money to get rid of them. So I feel like given Schuster probably will have a negative break even, he'll probably stay for me. And Dury, like, look, I'm expecting him to not get named again come round 15, but he can maybe just sit there and sit there for a little bit longer. So I don't think I'll be looking to actively trade out any of my buy players. So I think it will just come down to, I feel like this week might be for myself a good week just to hold trades. Maybe Isaiah Katoa, as Steezer says. I mean, Katoa with a 31, he's going to be like 350k, so he's not going to be at a very useful value. So I've only got 42k in the bank after the trade I did last week. So, I mean, around that price, I mean, the good thing, I guess, with, no, I can't do that anymore. Now that I've gone Cody Walker, I was thought maybe I could use Manu and flip him to 5'8". I can't do that now. So I thought maybe if you haven't gone Cody, and if you've got Katoa in your 5-8, you could use Joey Manu if you've held on to him, and you could maybe go Katoa to a cheap center wing. If you've got money, you could go Katoa to Karaz. That might be a nice little trade that you could do. But yeah, I think someone's saying I need Manu to return. I think Manu will be returned. Physio posted that it seems as though Willia Hargraves, Manu, and Sam Walker will all be back for the Roosters in round 14. So very keen to own Manu this week. I'm expecting, yeah, Preston Hosking will play. Fifita, fingers crossed, comes through Origin, okay. Metcalf, yeah, Luke Metcalf could be a consideration. Is he dual? That's not a bad shout, maybe. No, he's just 5'8". I can't do that. I mean, now that I've got dual bags and Cody, that those positions are locked in for me. And I can't even, like, so even, for example, I can't move Schuster down to 5'8 either. So those two for me, I think, will stay. So, yeah, I'm not entirely sure. I'm happy with the front row four now with Taps and Harris, and Welch is good depth, hopefully during this Origin period. So I feel like I don't need to touch that for a while. I mean, look, Reid Meinie, not great. But look, he'll be playing in round 16. Did I keep Grant? No. So I sold. So if anyone wasn't aware, my trades were Grant to Cook. I did Gilbert to Tohu Harris. I should pronounce that correctly. I did Nico Hines to Cody Walker. And I did Val Holmes to Osako. So four Origin guys all out of the team. I mean, Val, I'm happy. Val and Gilbert felt like easy sells. Hines and Grant, not as much. Yeah, look, I thought Metcalf looked good, but he's only 5'8", which is kind of is annoying. It'll make it very difficult to fit him in. Like, there's no, like, dual bags and Cody will stay for me pretty much this entire bye period. So, yeah. Yeah, so I'm not sure. Maybe, I mean, Billy Smith will play. I mean, look, Gutherson I could still potentially sell because he will lose some money. So he'll be, like, around the mid-650K. Maybe the upside move is to maybe go to like a fullback who also plays round 16. But the draw is pretty good for Parramatta. Let me have a quick look at that draw. It's the Bulldogs round 15, then Manly, who will be without all their Origin players, then the Dolphins. The Dolphins are fairly tough. It's not a bad little run for Parramatta. I do like Penrith's run. So if anyone is out there looking for a round 14 fullback, I know Dylan Edwards is expensive, but Dragons, Roosters, Cowboys, Knights. Okay, it's not as good as I thought it was, but it's Penrith. So we know Penrith are good. Is that Penrith's draw? Yes, it is. For some reason, I thought it was better. Maybe it's because the Cowboys, last week we were looking at them coming off a 66-point hiding. This week they came out a little bit better. Do a video where you rate people's Supercoach team via tweet. I mean, I do rate my team videos in the preseason, but at this point, I probably don't need to do that, surely. It's surely just more about just specific trade questions, isn't it? Anyway. Pennacini, Acel. Yeah, look, Pennacini is probably someone you could maybe look to move on. As discussed, round 16 and round 19 are not as difficult to cover. So even though he covers 16 and 19, he does miss round 18, which is a little bit tricky as well, and 14, of course. So just to show you guys, like round 16, assuming Christian Welch stays as 19th man, I'll have 3 here, 4, 5, 6, not counting Durian Howarth, not counting Cleary, so 7 with dual bags, 8 Manu, 9 Taruva, 10 Billy Smith, 11 Marzu, 12 Garrick, 13 Gutho, 14 Buller. So I'm already on 14 players for round 16. So I feel like round 16 is a week that maybe you can look to go a little bit heavier because you might already naturally be well set up and you can maybe go for like 17 players, and you actually might be able to benefit a little bit more from the best 13. This week for me, I only had 13, so everyone who played for me counted. Fortunately, no one went too bad. My lowest score was Isaiah Katoa with 31, so I'll happily take that. But yeah, I might maybe look to try bring in someone. I might look to hold trades this week, potentially, and just run out, because the way I see it is a lot of people are going to be struggling this week. So maybe it's not a bad week just to kind of consolidate, just settle. If you can run out of a decent team, maybe just hold on and we can look to reassess maybe after Origin. But yeah, sorry, Art, to answer your question, yeah, I think Pennacini could be sold. I think he had what did he have this week? He had, I'm going to guess 50. 62. Yeah, pretty solid, as always, from Pennacini. Um, Heatwave says, I'm going to struggle. I need to inject Fifita, Haas, Hines, and Latrell by end of the year. Yeah, that's the thing. That's kind of why it's on my thought. It's on my radar. Just like, if I can, any point I can hold trades, I'm happy to, because if the team's already looking okay setup wise for some of the other bye weeks, those trades will come in really handy when I'll still have one more boost. Round 20, Cody is on a bye, and I'm expecting Hines to back up, because Hines, if he keeps playing the 14 role, probably not playing very many minutes in Origin. So round 20, when Hines is playing and Cody's not, if I can do it, I'll try to do some kind of duels, or just downgrade Cody, upgrade someone else to Hines. But yeah, Hines is 100% a trade back into me at some stage. I have to do it. Who else is there? Grant, I think probably eventually, yes, I will want to bring him back in the run home. Who else did I sell? Val Holmes, I'm probably not as fussed if I can't get back to him, because I think there's enough good center wing options. Payne Haas again, maybe. It depends how he comes through with Origin, but yeah, he probably could be someone that you could look to target. But otherwise, maybe if you can, like Taps and Tohu could be just fine. So yeah, I'll definitely have to try to think about maybe holding on to trades to bring back some of my Origin guns. Art says, I'm fairly new to Supercoach. What happens if you don't make a trade? Yeah, it doesn't roll. It just basically, it's not like FPL. It just means that you just have, it doesn't mean next week you then get to use an extra trade. It's still the 2 weeks, unless it's a major bye week when it's three trades. But it just means you save the trades, basically. But it doesn't roll on, say, Fantasy Premier League. All right, Stafford Toa. Yeah, I mean, West Tigers players, I guess, could be interesting as well. A lot of players with negative break evens. I think someone earlier did ask about Junior Tupou. Junior Tupou, Stafford Toa. Who have the West Tigers got? Oh, Jareem the Dream. I'll be so happy to play Jareem this week, because he killed me when I had benched his 124 points. Canberra, Titans, Melbourne, by Cowboys, Sharks, Knights. It's okay. I mean, the Titans game around 15 could be anything. But yeah. I mean, maybe there could be buyers just to purely make some money, like the Toa, Stafford Toa and Tupou, but they don't scream to me like the guys who I'd be looking at as my run home center wing options, but I could be proven wrong. Could be a nice little money grab. Will Cleary and Walsh back up? I mean, it's very hard to say. I feel like Cleary will back up. I've got a feeling Cleary will back up. Where is my little spreadsheet? But I can't find my spreadsheet. But Cleary plays on the Sunday this week, so I think he'll back up, in my opinion. And he's got a game against the Dragons. And who else we got? Oh, Walsh. Reece Walsh. I don't know. The fact that the Broncos played pretty well and won against a tough away trip to Warriors, and they won without their Origin players. Pending how Walsh backs up, maybe he doesn't play this week, because Broncos have shown that they can win without some of their Origin stars. So Walsh would be a little bit less convinced on. Also, first Origin game, he could be getting a little bit of a touch up, to be honest, from the New South Wales players. Cleary, I think, will back up. Anyway, I think we'll wrap up the stream there. We've basically hit an hour, probably not able to do too much more Q&A, I think, at this stage. I think there's so much to unfold this week, but we'll be back on, I think Tuesday is when TLT comes out again. So we'll be back on Tuesday, hopefully, as always, and we'll cover some more questions, but leave any questions in the comments of the stream below as well. It's always very handy for me just to think about what to present. If you guys like the stream, 180 of you watching, which I really appreciate, do give the stream a like on the way out. Really helps me on the algorithm side of things. Do it for the algorithm, do it for the algo. And otherwise I'll catch you all back on Tuesday. And I guess if I don't say it again, up the blues. Of course I had to wear blue. I actually have a maroon hoodie that I was wearing before, and I thought, oh yuck, no, I can't wear this. I have to wear the blue t-shirt. Anyway, we'll wrap up the stream there. Catch you all in the next one. See ya.